Have you enjoyed listening to the CrowdPaw Leadership Podcast? Are you looking for a way to support it? Maybe you just want some swag. Get some CrowdPaw merch today. We have shirts, hoodies, sweatshirts, hats, and so much more. Go to CrowdPaw.org/merch, CrowdPaw.org/merch. Looking forward to seeing your CrowdPaw look.
And it's, you know, how you do anything is how you do everything, because you take your inner experience around everywhere you go, right? Everywhere you go, there you are. So if you're a fearful person, you're going to be fearful at work. You're going to be in relationships that are based off your own insecurities, which I started seeing. And I just got really clear, like, oh my gosh, not only am I at a job that I can't stay at, I'm in a relationship that I personally don't want to be in. And I've sort of backed myself into a corner. And it was just like, I had to get out of this. And I mean, worst case scenario, which is not that bad, I was like, if I can't figure out how to make this work for myself, I'm going to go get a job at Trader Joe's. Turn this up.
Your professional development is one of the keys to your career success. When you combine your desire to grow with actionable steps, your journey to success becomes an incredible reality.
Hi, I'm Paul Ferrandi, aka CrowdPaw, and welcome to CrowdPaw Leadership, where we learn how to become the most incredible versions of ourselves by learning from each other. So, first off, if you're just listening to this episode, you can also watch it on YouTube. Regardless, if you're listening or watching this episode, I really appreciate your support. Today, I have the honor of having Tarita Preston on the show. Tarita is a professional. I totally messed that up. Tarita is a professional life and leadership coach, and she is skilled at helping people see and experience their own power. So despite messing up your intro, how about, Tarita, you introduce yourself the way you would do it?
All right. So my name is Tarita Preston. I work as a professional life and leadership coach based here in Cincinnati, and I am skilled at helping people transform. People hire me for three things: the quality of my listening, the quality of my ability to ask questions, and my ability to help them slow down.
Awesome. Listening, asking questions, slowing down.
Yeah.
So from being a life and leadership coach, like, what do you think is the things that people struggle with the most?
Yeah. So a lot of things. I think that they think that leadership really means that they have to give their power away. A few things. Clients is that leadership doesn't have title or position, because we know people with really big titles and we wouldn't follow them anywhere. And we know people in our lives with no titles at all. And if they asked us to meet them in an alley at 8 o'clock at night, we would have questions, but we would be there. So that's the first thing. Just because someone's a leader or has a title, it doesn't actually make them a leader. The next thing is that a lot of people think that in order to serve, they have to sacrifice themselves. So that they can't take a break. They have to have back-to-back meetings. This is just the industry that I'm in. No, you're caught up in the story of busy. So you don't actually have a time management issue. You have a people-pleasing issue. Like, a lot of people spend a lot of time trying to look good, avoiding looking bad, or they implement all these crazy things like, I have an open door policy. You can come in my office anytime. Doesn't matter what I'm doing. Doesn't matter if I'm trying to concentrate and further my own goals. It's just so many misconceptions and misperceptions around what leadership actually is.
Wow, that's really good. So like with the people pleasing thing, sounds like also like a lack of boundaries as well. Would you agree with that? Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And I think that work is a really great place for us to experience our own power, but people don't see it like that. They see work as a place where I am easily triggered, or people aren't doing things that I want them to do. They usually lead by expectations versus agreements. And I think most importantly, work usually is a play on family dynamics. So if you grew up in an environment where you didn't have a lot of boundaries, or you are caretaking, you will confuse caretaking with leading.
Wow. I feel like you just dove right in there, and I love it. Well, with the family dynamics and caretaking versus leadership, because I think a lot of times how we are brought up or even the leadership that we've experienced kind of lends us to how we lead, whether or not that's correct. And so it's like people like you that are able to show people this is the more effective way to lead as opposed to just what they've always seen from how they were raised or experienced.
Well, I mean, most people actually don't know how to lead. And if they don't have any professional references for it, which is why you have so many toxic work environments, they actually don't have family references for it. Because how many people, I mean, just think about how it conditions us. And if you are a man in particular, you probably look to sports or you look to the military as the best and the best qualities of leading, which doesn't resonate with, you know, I don't know, half the population.
No.
So we think that leaders should have all the answers. They should know when, in my experience, leadership is a practice that you have to show up every day to.
Yes. You have to do stuff consistently because, and John Maxwell has a really great quote around this, is that we overestimate the intensity and we underestimate the consistency of things because we think like, oh, if we do this, like we go really hard one day, we go to a leadership conference, leadership getaway week, all this stuff is going to be fixed in a week. And we underestimate the little things we have to do day by day, week by week, to make sure we're fine-tuning our leadership, our active listening, because you started off with just being a good listener. Because if you're a leader and you're not a good listener, I would argue that you're a very poor leader, because leaders have to listen.
Yeah, and I think most people don't actually know how to listen. No, go ahead. What were you going to say?
No, I was going to say, I want to dive deeper into that. Like, how do you listen better?
So I do a few things. I work with clients one-to-one. So you can think I'm like a life coach for executives. So we have one-to-one calls, but then I do workshops. And one of the things that I do in my workshop is that I put people in pairs and person A is going to talk about an issue for 5 minutes. And then I'll say, person B, your job is extremely important. Your job is to listen. Now notice when you're listening, you're usually listening from right, wrong, good or bad, I agree, I disagree, or you think listening means fix, manage, or offer advice. Like, it is so rare that people feel fully seen and heard because we're usually interrupting them, we're cutting them off, we're taking the conversation in one way. And there's a woman named Nancy Klein who always says, it's like, how do you know that what's coming out of your mouth is more important than their next thought? But if you're someone who's not good at listening, you will create an organization that is actually codependent versus interdependent. Because you'll see yourself as having to fix, manage, you'll create a team that's dependent upon you solving their problems versus them actually solving it themselves because your listening is a battery for them. And most people don't see it like that.
Wow.
So I like to tell my clients to diagnose a conversation. All right, do you want me to hear you, like hear you out? Do you want me to help you, like help you think this through? Or do you want me to handle this? And we usually go into handling. But now it's like nobody asked you to do any of that.
Yeah. No, I'm laughing because it's so true, because I think people who are often in leadership positions feel like they're there to solve every issue, regardless of if they're the right person to solve that issue or not, or if the person that's coming to them is not even looking for the issue to be, it's not even something that needs to be solved. It's just something that someone needs to be heard or expressed. And I think there's a lot of just emotional intelligence, understanding, like, this is what you even said with asking the question, like, does this need to be handled, or is this just something that we need to discuss, as opposed to going straight into problem solving mode.
Right. And if we do it at work, they do it at home too. They do it at home. You're fixing problems at home when your partner just wants to connect.
Yes. That's so true. That's something that I've definitely been more intentional about over the years, is that with my ex-partner asking the question, like, is it something that you want? Do you just want me to listen, or do you want me to try and solve this? So then I'm like, if you just want me to listen, I'm just going to listen. And that's what it is, I would say, 99% of the time. So usually I don't even ask the question. I'm like, I'm just going to listen. And if there's something I need to solve, I will try and solve it if you ask me to, but I'm not going to offer it.
For sure. For sure. Yeah. It's a skill. We all have to learn it.
Yeah. No, I'm glad you mentioned that it's a skill to be learned, because I think a lot of times with leadership, especially listening, I think there's a tendency to think that some people are just naturally good at it and it's not something you can get better at.
Oh, absolutely. And usually, depending on our work environment, you are usually listening from a place of, I'm too busy. I don't have enough time. What do you want?
What do you want? Yes. What do
you want? Talk faster. Right? Like, you aren't actually seeing and hearing people.
No, that's really good. So I want to quickly take a step back, because I know you talk about what you're doing now, but is this something that you always felt like you wanted to do, or kind of like talking through the life of Tarita to get to where you are now?
Wow, that's a big question. So I originally thought that I was going to be an attorney. I thought I was going to go to law school. And when I was getting my bachelor's in poli sci, ended up getting a master's in poli sci, right, I talked to a few lawyers and was like, oh, this is not for me. I quickly got really clear. This is not for me. So I took a year off. I moved to South Korea. I took a break. I had just gone back because I used to work in UK Parliament. So I was living in London. I came back to the U.S., was really clear, okay, I'm not going to do this. Moved to South Korea, came back, and I actually got into a graduate program for human resources. And I really liked it. Like, I liked the people aspect. I liked the conflict management aspect. I like looking at a business and thinking, how can we operationalize the people that work here? And I ended up getting basically a job with one of the best companies in my mind at the time for leadership. So I was moving around. I was doing plant closings. I was doing national negotiations. And at the same time, I had laid off over like 500 people. So, and I don't know if you ever had to do that, but it's exhausting. It is so tough. And without having a lot of inner reflection, especially if you're in HR, you're laying off people, you think you're responsible. Like, you think you're responsible. It's like, I'm taking money from these people. Their whole lives are ruined. And I never saw how that could actually be for me. So I ended up moving to another city, still working at the same company. And at the same time, I got introduced to coaching. And so I took to it like a fish in water. And it just completely shifted my perspective on so many things. And at the same time, I had to start laying people off again. So I was coaching these executives. They were getting these really big jobs. And then I was having PTSD from when I was laying off people, 3 years ago. And it just became untenable. Like, I couldn't do it anymore. And I particularly felt out of integrity, because how can I help someone achieve their dreams and they're getting these jobs while I'm staying somewhere because I'm afraid? Like, I'm telling them, you should raise your hand and do. And here I am staying here at a job that I can't stand because I'm scared. So my soundtrack definitely was not matching my movie whatsoever. And you know how that works. When it's time for you to shake something up, life's going to make it all just unravel.
Oh, yeah.
I needed to hit rock bottom before I was like, okay, maybe it's time for me to do something different.
Wow.
Yeah. And that's, I started my own company seven years ago.
Wow. Started your own company 7 years ago. And then, if you're comfortable sharing, I guess, what is hitting rock bottom? What did that look like for you?
Well, I think one, realizing I hated my job, just really clear. I was in a relationship that was really clear to me that, I mean, fear is one of those things that's pervasive. And it's, how you do anything is how you do everything. Because you take your inner experience around everywhere you go, right? Everywhere you go, there you are. So if you're a fearful person, you're going to be fearful at work. You're going to be in relationships that are based off your own insecurities, which I started seeing. And I just got really clear, like, oh my gosh, not only am I at a job that I can't stay at, I'm in a relationship that I personally don't want to be in. And I sort of backed myself into a corner. And it was just like, I had to get out of this. And I mean, worst case scenario, which is not that bad. Mm-hmm. I was like, if I can't figure out how to make this work for myself, I'm going to go get a job at Trader Joe's. Everybody there seems happy.
They are always happy.
Places. It's like, I want to know what that is like. So I slept on my friends' couches. It was kind of like hand to mouth. Yeah. The first year of my business, I started in March. I made $20,000. And I made that $20,000 in December.
Oh, wow. December. And you started in March.
Mm. Exactly. Talk about being broke.
Dang.
But I feel like I really got it out of the mud, because coaching is one of those professions where it's a very low bar for entry. Anybody can call themselves coach. Like, it's just a word that's thrown around, but it's a very high bar for success. Very high bar for success. And most coaches you see are not profitable. They are not making money. They have their own ideas about what a business is and how it should be. And so I had to really do a lot of inner reflection. I had to get coaching to learn how to support myself. So, yeah.
Yeah. No, thanks for just unpacking that. And even going back to what you said about Trader Joe's, like, I don't know what their secret is, but the people there just generally really love their jobs like that. And like, anytime I fly Southwest, I'm like, these people, whatever they're doing, the culture, the community is like, I could work here, even though I don't have a background in either of those things.
Exactly.
But I think it's, and the reason I wanted you kind of just to share your background, because I think it's important for people to have context to like who you are, to like how you even got there. Because with this whole, everything I do with this podcast, talking to incredible people so it can become the most incredible versions of ourselves, it's understanding that it is a journey. It's not just something that just happens. It's something that you have to be intentional about. And that's definitely something that you've been intentional about the last 7 years of your business.
Yeah, I think my intentionality was really me being really clear that I was going to bet on myself. Like, I'm never going to regret doing something that's going to uplift me, that's going to be for my own growth and my development. And I like what I do because I basically get paid for being myself, which is all I ever wanted.
Yes, that's awesome.
Like, I want to show up and be paid to be Tarita. And so if I can do that on a client call, if I can do that in a board meeting, whatever it is, that's what I want to do.
Yeah, nothing better than when you're paid to be yourself. So yeah. I know you say you do a lot of executive coaching, leadership coaching. A lot of the leaders who you work with or maybe approach you, are they leaders that have got coaching in the past, or are they more newer to coaching and you kind of have to like walk them through the process?
You know, a lot of them have never had coaching before.
Oh, wow.
They've never had coaching before. And so I think the thing that coaches kind of fall into, they like to explain what coaching is. It's like, how do you tell where you're going to have more productivity or higher levels of peace, or you're going to navigate the world? It sounds like frou-frou, woo-woo, whatever. That's just kind of how it is.
Yeah.
So my process is, I don't actually take anyone on as a client until I've had two or three conversations with them, because it's kind of like an inner MBA. I don't know what I'm going to find. We got to look in here and see. Mm-hmm. I don't know what challenges you're dealing with. I don't know what your consciousness is. I don't know what collapsing beliefs you have. So I don't even know if I can help.
That's
I don't true. Know what the problem is. Looking for coaching, I think you definitely want to work. Do not, people are like, oh, we had a 30-minute call. I need an hour. I really need 90 minutes if I'm honest, but there is no exchange happening until I'm on the phone with somebody.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good point. Just because there's people that say that they want coaching, but then when you actually talk to them, you can tell that they just want to be validated into what they're doing. Yep. Instead of actually be challenged into what are the underlying reasons why they're doing stuff.
Yeah.
And asking the questions, because as a coach, you're asking the questions that they don't want to ask themselves, or they've asked themselves and then given them an answer, given themselves an answer that's not completely true.
Yeah, or they never thought of the question.
Even that too.
Right? I think especially when you are in a very busy work environment, it is challenging to inner reflect because that would require slowing down. That would require you actually see things like maybe you don't want to see. So sometimes our psyches are just built to block certain things out. I mean, I had to run into a tree before I was like, I want to leave my job, you know?
Are you wondering what's next? Has everything you tried failed? Or maybe you just feel stuck? Then coaching may be right for you. The coaching relationship is a relationship totally centered on you. So what are you waiting for? Go to incredipal.org/coaching so I can help you become the most incredible version of yourself.
I had to have so much cognitive dissonance that I could not avoid before I was like, oh, wait a minute, there is something here.
No, it's true, because sometimes the only reason people will grow or change is when they are forced to, as opposed to when they decide to.
Yes, yes. And I think that's how everyone is introduced to change. And then over time, it gets easier because you already know what rock bottom is. So you're like, oh, wait a minute. I don't need to have the experience again. Yeah, I can get my lessons gently. And I can see the pattern. I can interact with it. I don't have to do the whole thing over again.
Yeah, so you're getting your lesson gently like that. Yeah, that's something that I feel like some people do better than others, because I think sometimes the same person can go through the same thing, or two people can go through the same thing, and one person is going to blame everyone else and the other person will be more introspective and will learn from it.
Yeah, and I think that is probably a survival mechanism, right? And I mean, in your house, it's always interesting to see how we treat children and how much children are blamed for things when in reality, they're just being a kid, right? When children make mistakes, do you have parents who are like, it's okay? Or do you have parents who are like, I can't believe you did that and blah, 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 blah. So even, you know, any sense of inner accountability can be hard if you had caregivers that weren't accountable.
Wow. That's very powerful. I'm thinking, because I think a lot of times people think you tell me if you feel the same or differently about this between coaching, counseling, and consulting. And I feel like sometimes people kind of blur the lines between those three. I don't know what your thoughts are on that. And if you feel like if there are differences, what are the differences between those three? So I have some thoughts. I'm curious.
When you say counseling, you mean therapy?
Therapy, yes.
Okay, got it. So what I do is not therapy. Mm-hmm. And people can experience it as therapeutic. Yeah. So I'm not necessarily, to me, therapy is all about, if you've had any form of trauma, you should go to therapy. just across the board. Don't message me. I'm tell you right now. I'm not your girl, right? If you are struggling with housing, if you are like housing insecure, if you have that's not where I'm working at, right? However, I am interested to know about your past, and I'm more interested in how you are recreating your past in your present and in your future. Now, when I think of consulting to me is maybe a little more prescriptive, a little bit more of here are the things that I did, and this is the path that you should take to get there. They feel a little bit more hard skill based, which I mean, I consult on HR because my background's in HR. Yeah. So it's helpful for me to understand a little bit more about the business and about the people and put in processes and procedures. And I'm also interested in, okay, how did that meeting make you feel? And when the person was saying those things, what happened inside of you? And what did it trigger? Because, you know, a lot of our work relationships are a play of family relationships. So I'm essentially teaching people how to work with themselves so that they can lead better. Okay. Like, I'm not interested in you doing better in your job. I'm interested in you being a better version of you. Because if we can get you to be better, you're going to be better everywhere.
Absolutely. And that's what the whole purpose of this podcast is. This is why I wanted to have you on. So that's perfect. Yeah, I totally agree with that, because I think for therapy, it's definitely more backwards looking, like with the trauma. And I think I would say, honestly, everyone should go to therapy at least a couple times, because I think there are some emotional traumas you don't even realize are emotional traumas that are causing you to do certain things. And that's what something I experience from going to therapy.
Yeah.
So therapy is definitely more backwards looking. And then what you mentioned with coaching, that you want to have the context of the past to see like what's going on in the present, but you're not focused on the past. You're more looking at the present and future looking. It's like, what are the things that you're doing? Asking those thought provoking questions and the accountability piece. Because at the end of the day, it's the client that has to do it. And then the coach is there to mirror back and understand, like, what are you actually saying? What are you actually doing? Because you can't do anything for them.
Right. I like to see coaching sessions as strategy sessions. Like, let's talk about some principles. Let's talk about some techniques. You go out and practice them. You let me know. And then you do that for 2 weeks and you come back and we slow it down and talk about it. Mm-hmm. And then we do game film, just like, you know, a replay. Where should you have made that? Well, I would have did that a little bit differently, you know, kind of like that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really good. And I think consulting, because some people confuse coaching and consulting, I think it's like totally different, because it's like you are the one doing the work for the client, whether it's like HR stuff you mentioned or if it's specific strategies that your people are trying to do or whatever it is, but it's less on the client doing the work and then you're doing the work. So those are kind of the different, how I see the differences.
Yeah, I would agree.
For sure. So with leadership and life coaching, I know you're constantly talking to people, constantly helping them. How do you continue to stay on your game and develop in your leadership?
That's one of my favorite things to do.
Yeah.
So I'll be honest, I love paying people to help me solve my problems. Be them in the physical, be them energetically, be them, you know, somatically, be it like, I mean, there is no, I have invested so much money into my own growth and my own healing. Yeah. And I can't take my clients further than I've gone. So I've had a coach for 7-8 years consistently. I have worked with different energy healers. I have like different intuitives that I work with. In 2 weeks, I'm going to go for my second past life regression, which I love. I did one a few years ago and it was like totally life changing for me.
Yeah. Talk me through. What is that? Yeah.
A past life regression?
Yeah.
Okay. So let me slow down.
One of the key things you work on.
Oh, I know, because I think that's one of the fun things about being me, and you know, and everyone has their own unique skills and creative energy, is that I like to explore different modalities. Mm-hmm. And then like, if my clients are into it, some people aren't, right? Mm-hmm. I like to meet them where they are. So mm-hmm. if they're into it, we're going to get it done. Mm-hmm. But in order to really get the full benefit of past life regression, you really want to consider that you are a human being you're a spiritual being having a human experience. So you have lived lifetimes before, and you know, I don't know, different planets, different galaxies, different solar systems, maybe here on Earth, maybe not. It's definitely not the general idea of Christianity or things like that, right? No offense. Okay. It's just not really what
it's just not what it is.
Yeah. Not what it is. And so you basically set aside maybe 7 or 8 hours. Wow. And the first 2 hours is tell me your life story. Which you can imagine all the feelings that come up when someone is sending you like loving energy, paying attention to you and saying, tell me your life story. Right. So even then they're already seeing patterns. And so after you go through that, I went to a woman named Marta. I'll send you her info, but so great. And so after you go through that, they basically hypnotize you. Now I want to be clear. I relate it to hypnosis like America's Funniest Home Videos. That was my context. I thought that you'd be doing like making different noises in front. I had no idea what being hypnotized was. I'd never had experience before. I've only ever seen it on TV. When I tell you So next thing I know, I'm counting backwards. And before it's over, she's like, where are you? And I hear a voice say, I'm at my grandma's house. And it was like, who is that? It was me.
Wow.
There was a part of me that was very present, that was like hearing and seeing and experiencing all of this. And there was a part of me that was definitely like, it's Tuesday, it's 1993, and nobody's listening to me. I'm dead ass. And so long story short, I reversed back to a time in my childhood where I felt really frustrated and not heard. And it was a memory that I personally, I didn't even know that I had suppressed. And after it was over, after I was able to see it from a variety of different angles, including like the people in my life, my perspective, and to really kind of relive it and shift it, Paul, I laid on that mat and cried for like 4 hours. I'm sorry. I cried for like... And wow. When I tell you, after I woke up from that experience, I felt like I had lost 100 pounds.
So this whole weight came off of you?
It was weight I didn't even know I was carrying. And then one of the processes is that they ask you to, you basically like write a list of 12 questions to ask your higher self. And so while you're under... they ask questions like, so what's holding Tarita back? And then it'll be like a higher, well, you know, Tarita does blah, 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 blah. And it's just like, oh my God, you know, like really tuning into stuff like that. I mean, you know, the idea of me crying for 4 hours, it just makes me so excited. Like, I can't wait. I love it. So I felt like after having that experience, I was moving through the world much with more grace and ease.
Wow.
Much more lightness, more tuned into my inner child. You know, like, I loved it.
Okay.
Yeah, and now I'm going to go on the 22nd, and one of my clients, she's going to go on the 23rd.
Okay.
It's so great to introduce people who, you know, have all these big corporate jobs and work. And it's like, yeah, let's free up some more creative energy. Let's go play a little bit.
Yeah, no, it sounds like that was extremely therapeutic. I mean, just the fact that you said after that you cried for 4 hours and you're looking forward to doing that again.
All that stuff is right up my alley. Me going into a workshop with, you know, I don't know, 200 other people and working a process. Sign me up.
No, that's awesome. No, I enjoy workshops, conferences, connecting with people. And I definitely agree with you that we are spiritual beings and we live in a physical body, at least from my perspective, is more so from the Christian perspective. But I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, that's good. I guess, what are some misconceptions about coaching that you have to get out of the way with some of the clients that come to you? Or maybe even in an intake session, people are coming to you and saying all these things about coaching that aren't true.
You know?
And I kind of push you on the spot.
So I'll tell you what I do. Because okay. I've never actually experienced that. And here's why. When people are on the phone with me, the first thing I do is energetically, I want them to feel as comfortable as possible. So I want to ask them, how's their day going? I want to ask them, like, you know, what have you been up to? Has it been busy? Is it easy? You know, if I just got off a call and I'm stressed out, it's like, oh, do you want to kind of close our eyes and take a few deep breaths? Do you want to, let's just do a little centering practice. And then I'll just kind of invite them to slow themselves down. I'll say things like, you know, we just ask that any tension, any nervousness, any anxiety, that just be shifted and cleared. You know, we're so excited to come together in support of Paul and all the things that he's up to, right? So that's the first thing. And then I'll say, I'll ask them, have they had coaching before? And this is where you really get into it. It's like, well, yes, and this coach was blah, 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 blah. And I'll just kind of take notes. If they say, yeah, but it wasn't that great, I'm like, well, what wasn't great about it? Well, they weren't blah, 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 blah. Okay, so I'm collecting information.
Okay.
And then ask them, you know, have you had therapy before? And some people will be like, well, yeah, I have. And then I'll say, and I think a lot of coaches are afraid to go there. And I'm like, okay, so, you know, if you don't mind me asking, what were you and your therapist working on? Like, I'll go there and I'll ask.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So they'll say, you know, X, Y, and Z. And then I'll say, okay, so this is going to be different. Like, it's not whatever reference you have is not that.
Okay.
Just because I'm on the call and we never had this before. So it's not going to be the same.
Yeah.
You know, I'll also just share that, you know, how fast and how far we go together is completely up to them. Mm-hmm. Like, they set the pace. And this is my own growth, things I've noticed about how I can be. I'll say, and some people can experience my coaching as uncomfortable or confrontive. So in the event that happens, will you let me know? Because I want to get the people pleasers right out the gate. It's like, come on, because you can definitely fall into that. People, I don't want people to put me on a pedestal. I want them to think like, oh, Tarita knows more. Like, we are all coming to the table, me, you, your higher self, your guides, my guides, we're all here and we're looking at your stuff together and we're kind of like, what do you see? I don't know. What do you see? Right. So it's a collaborative exchange that isn't comparable to other experiences. So I don't really get those. I don't get those questions of, you know.
No, it makes sense. You don't get the question because you are already, they kind of already are telling you that stuff, and you know what kind of like what they're, the, any baggage they're bringing to the table as regards to coaching or with therapy. Even the fact that you're bold enough to ask that question, I don't know many coaches that ask the question about like what their clients are working on and have worked on in therapy, but I think that's great context because they could have worked on stuff in therapy, but as you talk to them, realize that maybe they are still working on it or they didn't learn what they should have learned, whatever it is. And that can help guide how you coach them or if you can coach them.
Right. And I think like a lot of people they aren't prepared to hold the answer. So if you are a person who doesn't have a strong sense of self, if you tend to be very judgmental, I mean, anything people say is going to take you out. And I want to create a space where my clients feel comfortable telling me anything. So like at the end of the day, I'm up for whatever you're up for. Your mission is my mission. And I am skilled at seeing like where you are and where you need to be and how do we get there together in the most loving way as possible, which I think is what's different. Like you're not going to be on a call with me and I'm telling you to work harder and do this. It's very much going to be, yeah, you know, how about we practice some self-forgivenesses? How about we take a load off? Like, how about we just take a break? Let's slow it down and collect ourselves. Yeah. And then we can get back to get to work.
And so that's really good. That's important. That's very important. Yeah. So kind of wrapping things up, but I want to make sure if there's anything we haven't talked about, either for yourself personally or coaching, that you were able to share it with the audience before we close things out.
Well, I think so. For the past 3 years, I have done a really transformational program called Leadership for Professional Women of Color. And the premise of the day is pretty radical. It's what if work could be a place of healing and growth? And what if everything happening to you in your professional life is actually for you? Right? The people, the clients, the feedback, the people that trigger you, your inbox. What if all of those were opportunities for you to heal, for you to shift, or for you to grow? And I did that for 3 years. And now I am really clear that my next offering is going to be Leadership for Professional Women.
Wow.
Because I think that we need more unity. We need more loving. We need more tools and spaces to not just vent about how challenging it is for women in leadership, but to actually teach women skills on how they can lead better, how they can support themselves, how they can, instead of using their creative energy to buy into imposter syndrome, to tie it into situations and places that don't serve, how do they channel that into more growth, better performance, better communication. It's like the time is now. So that's going to be coming August 2025 in Cincinnati, probably a 2.5-day event. Don't expect panels. Don't expect a celebrity speak-a-thon. Don't expect any of that. Expect that when we are together, we're going to be clearing up a whole bunch of stuff.
Wow.
And my intention is that they leave there feeling lighter, they feeling supported, and they feel as if they can be a soft place to land for themselves. And they don't have to be tiny men. Like, that's the takeaway. They don't have to be different. They don't have to fit into a box. They get to forge their own path. So that's what we're going to be doing.
You know, I love that. I love the one-liner, too, that they don't have to be tiny men just to be themselves, this whole idea of leadership for professional women. So definitely mark, everyone listening or watching, mark your calendars, August 2025. And then if they're, I'll make sure that we have a link to your website and stuff in the show notes. But it's been really incredible having you on the show. I want to make sure people know how to connect with you. It's been coming across the screen for those watching on YouTube, but if you can share it as well.
Oh my gosh, my favorite social media is Instagram. Oh, yeah. So I'm on Instagram quite a bit. Also, I love LinkedIn and website. Yeah. So just Tarita Preston.
Yeah, so Tarita Preston, LinkedIn, and Instagram. So I definitely love Instagram a little less than I love LinkedIn. Okay, a lot less. I love LinkedIn. I see
your LinkedIn activity. It's good. It's good.
Thank you. So I probably spent too much time on there. Probably need to spend more time on Instagram. Work on it. 2025 will be better.
It's fine.
We'll see. We'll see. But no, it has been incredible having you on the show, Tarita. Even like talking from your story that initially that you wanted to be a lawyer, and you talked about how you hit rock bottom, wanted to work at Trader Joe's. Did you say you wanted to or you did work at Trader Joe's?
I wanted to.
Okay.
My stuff, my career started taking off, and now I'm just shopping there. But that's still a dream of mine. You know, I'm good at it.
I would say I've never had a negative experience at Trader Joe's.
Me neither.
Yeah. So, yeah, this is almost, it's called like a sponsorship for Trader Joe's. This is not sponsored by Trader Joe's, but if they would like to sponsor it, I will gladly hear it, potentially. But, yeah, just... in all seriousness, just the energy you have, the passion you have around leadership, and just sharing the practical tips. We were just talking about listening being a skill and leadership being a skill as well. And even all the intentionality you take and the clients that you take on, because you want to make sure that it's actually people that you can help. So I think a lot of the pitfalls some coaches fall into is that they just want to take anyone and everyone, whether or not they can actually help the person or the person wants to be helped. I think that's another key thing we talked about. Yeah. But it's clear from your passion, you know who your avatar is, you know you're the person that you're there to help, and you are continuing to walk in that direction.
Yeah, thank you, Paul. I will say that I really experienced you as very inspiring.
Thank you.
I appreciate and acknowledge all you're doing out here.
I really appreciate that. And for everyone else that's been listening or watching, I hope you got something. Actually, I know you got something from Tarita's story, if you were listening, because we talked about that earlier on, to whether it's you're new to your leadership and you're not sure where to start, definitely recommend seeking out coaching if you can. I know coaching is not the most cheap option out there, but it is the most effective option. So definitely reach out to your employer if you can get it through them. But the simplest way to start, you're probably already doing it with podcasting, books, conferences, but keep learning, keep growing, keep learning from incredible people like Tarita, and you can continue to be incredible.
Be sure to rate and review this podcast on your favorite podcast listening platform. We'll see you here next time, and be incredible. Incredible.
Have you enjoyed listening to the Incredible Paul Leadership Podcast? Are you looking for a way to support it? Maybe you just want some swag. Get some Incredible Paul merch today. We have shirts, hoodies, sweatshirts, hats, and so much more. Go to incrediblepaul.org/merch, incrediblepaul.org/merch. Looking forward to seeing your Incredible Paul look.